When I was a kid growing up, Mom and Dad told me about Santa Claus. I don't know how many of the rest of you, you know, you were raised, you know, well, you better be good because Santa Claus is coming. You don't worry about that until along about December. The good part, all right? You kind of just do what you want, and then, because when I was a kid, the department stores would send these massive telephone book-sized catalogs to the home, and the first thing I would do, go to the toy section and just start looking through the toy section. I want this, and I want this, and I want all that. And boy, you know, I was sure looking forward to when Christmas would arrive and I could see what Santa brought me. Well, I remember the time when, you know, Mom explained to me, well, there is no Santa Claus. It felt like my world had collapsed. I mean, like the bottom had dropped out. What? No Santa Claus? But I've been living my whole life with this belief. How can you say there's no Santa Claus? Well, no, there's no Santa Claus. And then she explained to me the whole process. And I said, liars! You mean I've been living my whole life under false doctrine? Well, I didn't put it like that. But it hit me pretty hard. And I realized that the person that I had been writing these letters to did not exist, that where I had been placing my faith all those years, there was no one there to receive this faith. And so I really, it was a shock to me. And Mom and Dad, you know, at the time, they really didn't see it as lying to me, even though that's what they were doing. Well, you know what? It's sad, but a lot of preachers have turned God into Santa Claus. You know, Mom and Dad would tell me, you know, well, you better be good. And you know the songs that we sing about, you know, Santa Claus is coming to town, you better not cry, you better not pout, and all those other things. Preachers have just had like a variation on this theme. Well, you know what? You better be good and put your money in the plate or you're not going to get your blessing. Well, that's how Kathy and I lived for years. And we were, oh, you know, you better write that check for that 10%. Put, or, you know, because God help us, we don't want to be cursed. And then, you know, if you wanted to be healed, you had to write a check for your healing. And there on that memo line, you had to write, you know, for healing. Put that in the offering. Or, you know, for salvation of my children. Or for a new car. Or for a new mother-in-law. Or whatever it is you wanted. You had to write that on the memo. Got a need, sow a seed. We lived with that belief for years. And we acted on that belief for years. Well, then one day, I came across a verse. It's a verse that we could label a freedom verse. It's one of those verses that presents a concept to you that will set you free if you will accept it. And I'll just read these two verses. It's in Romans, chapter 8. In verse 31, it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. There's the offering right there. He delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That means in the mind of God, the moment that He made Jesus available to us, everything else was included. Everything. That's why this word freely is so important. Because it means out of His grace with no restrictions. God did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. That right there would be enough. He could have stopped right there because that represents our opportunity for salvation. But He continued. And He said, that's not all. There's more. How shall He not with Jesus also freely give us all things? And you know, I see that, I read that, and I can remember when the truth of that verse that had been in my Bible the whole time finally hit home. This means that when it comes to me receiving from God, it is not a matter of what have I put in the plate that qualifies me to receive. I'm qualified to receive because I have received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And God has freely made everything else available. The salvation part is settled in the first half of verse 32. Everything else for life in this world is settled in the second half. When I caught on to this, it's kind of like, well, there is no Santa Claus. What? But I've been living my whole life in faith, believing in a Santa Claus. The preachers were presenting God to me like a Santa Claus. If you're good and you put your money in the plate, He will bring you lots of things. Lots of money, lots of stuff, lots of grown-up toys. Not just toy cars, real cars, big ones. I believe that. And that's how I lived. It's how Kathy and I lived. And you know, the strangest thing is, I can honestly tell you, we never got all that stuff. Not, I don't mean we didn't get, we missed out on the big car. We just got a little one. No, I'm saying we didn't get any of that stuff those guys were promising. The way they presented it, it never worked. And some people could say, well, now, brother, that's not faith talk. It is faith talk. Faith in what God has promised me here in Romans 8:32. This is His promise to me. I'm His child. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And now the sacrifice of Jesus is not enough. You're saying that God loves Jesus so little that He says, son, I really appreciate everything you did for them, but you know, they're still going to have to pony up some dollars if they expect healing. If they expect deliverance, if they expect anything that you died to give them. I mean, if I was Jesus, I'd say, excuse me, then why did I go down there? Amen. What's the deal here, Father? Jesus came to set us free from all this bondage. This is a major shock to the religious system. Because if you've lived your whole life believing, I have to give or I ain't getting nothing from God. And suddenly you find out that's not how God looks at it. He says, hold on here. I am your Father. And I love you. I did not spare your older brother. And with him, I make everything available to you freely. And that word freely is absolutely critical. I had a sermon here not too long ago entitled The Power of a Single Word. And In that sermon, I showed how some versions of the Bible alter one word in a verse and it changes the entire meaning. This word freely was not put in here by accident. God wanted this in here to emphasize to us that we can trust Him for what we need. That we can trust Him for everything. It's based upon our relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you, when you first hear something like this, you have to go through an adjustment period. And really, if you've lived your whole life thinking, if I don't put that check in there, I'm going to be cursed. You know, I won't get healed. I want this. I want that. To suddenly realize, yeah, you're supposed to still give, but it's for a different purpose. Now it's to tell the world about Romans 8:32. It's not to get stuff. Amen. And you'll go through time. You may go through times of guilt. Oh, I sure hope that Brother Martin was right, because I'm about to cut back from 10% to 9% this week, because, you know, it's either buy groceries and feed the kids or put money in the plate. Let me get this straight. You don't have food at home to feed your kids? That's right. And you're afraid if you don't put the money in the plate, you're going to face some very tough times. That's right. Well, it sounds to me like you're already facing some tough times. Your father wants you to feed your kids, for crying out loud. I've never seen the righteous begging bread. Come on. Yes, you're right. We're leading up to an offering. Who'd have thought, right? You see, I so want people to understand their freedom in Christ, and that you cannot buy your blessings. Amen. The price has already been paid through Jesus Christ. And all the preachers that were teaching otherwise that we listened to, they honestly thought they were helping us. But they weren't. And I can tell you this, and I can tell you this for a fact. Since I shifted my belief from what those guys were telling me, you know, put in the money or you don't get anything, and started believing God according to Romans 8:32 and other similar type verses, Kathy and I have seen more come into our life than ever before. Faith in truth works. Hallelujah. Faith in Santa does not.